The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 30 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org, and email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today's broadcast is on the essence of my message regarding Sabbath observance. The overview: it seems that many people struggle, and I'm talking believers here, with the concept of Sabbath observance. In saying this, I must stress that this relates only to committed believers who are doing their best to serve Father Yah, the eternally self-existing creator of the heavens and the earth, faithfully. This broadcast seeks to present my understanding of Sabbath observance, having done my best to be observant since around 2000, so for about 23 years. We'll start by reviewing a number of verses from the Bible that speak to Sabbaths. I will offer my interpretation of certain verses, and I will outline what I understand to be permissible and not permissible. I will then speak about observance of the six high Sabbaths of Yah, and finally we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. This broadcast is based on the article 2022-0301, the essence of my message regarding Sabbath observance. As I said a minute ago, it seems that many believers struggle with the concept of Sabbath observance. In saying this, I must stress that this relates only to committed believers who are doing their best to serve Father Yah, the eternally self-existing creator of the heavens and the earth, faithfully. This broadcast seeks to present my understanding of Sabbath observance, having done my best to be observant since around 2000. So for about 23 years. So what is it and why is it important? So Father said way back that it took him seven periods of time to create everything, and in the seventh period he rested, and therefore his creation should rest, therefore we should rest, therefore our servants should rest, therefore our draft animals should rest. If you don't believe, you need to get that right first. This is about people who have seriously made a commitment to Yah, who actually want to please him. if you just sort of prayed some sort of prayer once upon a time and you're just pottering along doing your own thing, not really worried about the Creator, this message is probably not really for you. This is for people who really want to get close to Father, who want to please Father, who want to do His will on earth, who want to live above sin. Big difference. As a point of departure, I hold that unless otherwise specified in the case of a specific high Sabbath, every day begins at sunrise, and the weekly Sabbath therefore begins at sunrise on Saturday and runs to sunrise on Sunday. I understand that there are all sorts of arguments that the day begins with night, etc., but I hold that these are not valid. This is discussed elsewhere on the website, etimen.org, www.endtimeissueministries.org. Following are some Bible verses that have a bearing on this. Folks, the broad consensus is that the Sabbath begins at sunset on Friday. That the day begins at sunset. So let me check this out with you. The day begins with night. Why is it called the day if it begins at night? The night is when people rest and relax and sleep. Surely the day begins at daylight. So I'm not going to get into a big debate about it. If you think it begins Friday at sunset, so be it. One of us is going to get a nasty shock on the Day of Judgment, and I don't think it'll be me. If you're going to start at sunset on Friday, well, then I suggest you go through to sunrise on Sunday just to be on the safe side. Why observe the Sabbath? Well, the short answer is simply because Father told us to, in no uncertain terms, and I'm going to share some verses that substantiate that. So Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, sets out the fourth commandment in some detail. Remember the Sabbath day or the seventh day by keeping it set apart, holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, incorrectly the Lord your God, which you must not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your manservant nor your maidservant nor your livestock nor the foreigner within your gates. For in 6 days Yah, the eternally self-existing, made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but on the seventh day he rested. Therefore, Yah, the eternally self-existing, blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart or holy. Now, the key thing here is that the creation did not take place in seven periods of 24 hours. It took place in six periods, each of indeterminate duration. Creating the actual universe potentially took millions of years, maybe even more. Creating the plants and the animals potentially took tens of thousands of years, maybe hundreds of thousands of years, maybe millions of years. Creating man happened in an instant, right at the end of the process. And by the way, the Sabbath is Saturday, not Sunday. It always was Saturday. Then the Roman Church changed it to Sunday because of pagan worship, the sun's day, worshipping the sun. But it's Saturday, and that's a subject that's beyond the scope of this broadcast. Then Genesis 2, verse 2. And by the seventh day, the Almighty had finished the work he had been doing. So on that day, he rested from all his work. Or if you like, on the seventh period, the Almighty finished the work he'd been doing. Note that in this instance, day refers to an indeterminate period of time. We're currently in the seventh period of Yah's endeavors, and Yah is resting waiting for us to make his enemies a footstool to Yeshua's feet. In Exodus 16:23, Moses told them, "This is what Yah the self-existing has said. Tomorrow is to be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath, a set-apart Sabbath to Yah the eternally self-existing. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, then set aside whatever remains and keep it until morning." So set it apart to Yah. You should be worshiping, you should be praising, you should be praying, you should be studying about his matters. If you have a ministry, you should be ministering. You should not be doing the dishes or doing housework or taking business phone calls or answering business emails or anything like that. The seventh day, the Sabbath day, Saturday, is set apart, separated, sanctified to Yah. And if you're not doing that, you're breaking the commandment, and you're likely to get judged either in this life or in the life to come. You should not be surprised as if you do have business meetings. If you're a folks, I just want to stress, this whole message is for committed believers. If you're not a committed believer, you either need to change your attitude and get to be a committed believer. Otherwise, you're wasting your time listening to this because it's not for you. So don't get offended with me telling you to do things that you don't think are important. Because if you don't think having a relationship with Father and pleasing him is important, I'm sorry, this is the wrong place for you. So then Exodus 23:12, for 6 days you are to do your work, but on the seventh day you must cease, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your maidservant may be refreshed, as well as the foreign resident. Exodus 31:13, tell the Israelites, surely you must keep my Sabbaths, for this will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am Yah, the eternally self-existing, who sanctifies you or who sets you apart. So, don't work on the Sabbath. No housework, no housekeeping, no home maintenance, no do-it-yourself. By that, Yah will know it's a sign between you and him, it's a sign between you and the unbelievers, that you keep the Sabbath. He knows that he's important to you because you have chosen to set apart that day. With all the temptations, etc., there's, I'll just do this email, I'll just respond to this, I'll just take this phone call, I'll just do this, I'll just do that. I haven't had time to wash the dishes for the last 3 days. I'll catch up on my housework. That is not Sabbath observance. Exodus 31:15. For 6 days work may be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of complete rest, set apart to Yah, the eternally self-existing. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must surely be put to death. So as with all of the Ten Commandments, there's a death penalty, or the very least torment in hell after death for violating the Sabbath. Leviticus 26:2, you must keep my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am Yah, the eternally self-existing. Deuteronomy 5:14, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. Folks, it's very, very clear, and it's set out in a lot of detail, so there's really no excuse for not keeping the Sabbath. There are four commandments which have to do with love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the first four commandments do that. Worship Yah alone. No idols. Don't worship Jesus. Don't worship the Bible. Don't worship the Quran. Don't worship the Torah. don't take the name of Yah in vain. Don't call him the Lord or God or whatever his name is, Yah, the eternally self-existing, or Yah. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Observe all the Sabbaths. If you want to show Yah that you love him, keep those four commandments. We then obtain some clarification from Yeshua, Mark 2:23 to 28. One Sabbath, Yeshua, incorrectly commonly called Jesus, was passing through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick the heads of grain as they walked along. So the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Yeshua replied, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? During the high priesthood of Abiathar, he entered the house of Yah and ate the consecrated bread, which was lawful only for the priests, and he gave some to his companions as well." Yeshua declared, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man, Son of Adam, is Adonai, or Lord, even of the Sabbath." This is confirmed in Matthew 12:1-2 and Luke 6:1. Note that all human beings are sons of Adam, sons of man. So, apparently a dilemma, because it seems that Yeshua is saying, well, it's okay to break the Sabbath. There's a difference between just taking a small amount of grain for food, because it happens to be there as you walk through the field, as distinct from cooking a three-course meal and spending hours in the kitchen. We're not forbidden to have a nice meal on the Sabbath, but we are not to go and do all the work necessary to prepare that meal on the Sabbath. You can prepare the food the day before. Luke 14:1-6. One Sabbath, Yeshua went to eat at the home of a leading Pharisee. Those in attendance were watching him closely. Right there before him was a man with dropsy. So Yeshua asked the experts in the Torah, the lawyers and the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then Yeshua took hold of the man, healed him, and sent him on his way. And he asked them, "Which of you whose son or ox falls into a pit on the Sabbath day will not immediately pull him out?" And they were unable to answer these questions. So notice here, Yeshua didn't heal the man. The Spirit of Yah in Yeshua healed the man. Yeshua was not working. Yah was working. Yeshua's point is, it's acceptable and pleasing to do good on the Sabbath. Again, this is not about a whole lot of getting, these passages are not about finding an excuse not to be strict about observing the Sabbath. It's just clarifying some points that were not clear in the days of Yeshua, because people have fenced the commandments around with all these rules and regulations and laws and all the rest of it. Please be discerning. There's a lot of wrong teaching that suggests that Sabbath observance is no longer important. And then there's a whole lot of other stuff that people say the Sabbath is the Sunday when it's actually the Saturday. So people go to work on Saturday and observe the Sabbath on Sunday. And in the meantime, they've broken the commandment. Luke 13:10-17. One Sabbath, Yeshua was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman there had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was hunched over and could not stand up straight. When Yeshua saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your disability." And he placed his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and began to glorify the Almighty. But the synagogue leader was indignant that Yeshua had healed on the Sabbath. "There are 6 days for work," he told the crowd, "so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." "You hypocrites, Adonai, the Lord, Yeshua, replied, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it to water? Then should not this daughter of Abram, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be released from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Yeshua said this, all his adversaries were humiliated, and the whole crowd rejoiced at all the glorious things he was doing. So, again, it's acceptable to do good on the Sabbath day. And I'm not talking about if you have great big works and what have you. I'm talking about doing good for somebody, potentially visiting somebody who's ill. But basically, the Sabbath is for observing Yah, of commitment to Yah, of worship of Yah, studying about Yah, praying to Yah. There's so much material to read. There's lots of material on my website if you're looking for stuff to read. And most of it is anointed and inspired at some level. My interpretation: there are some challenges in the above verses. I would like to offer my interpretation of the commandment as follows. Specifically, the Sabbath is to be strictly observed, but there are situations where grace applies, such as the healing of infirmity by the Spirit of Yah, rescuing someone in danger, feeding domestic animals, etc. My application of these principles is as follows. What is permissible? Eating and basic food preparation. Not a fancy meal. You're going to have a fancy meal, prepare it the day before. Worshipping. Fundamentally, the Sabbath is a day to worship Yah. If you're a minister serving Yah, then ministry is permissible, whether this is your full-time occupation or part-time. Reading about the matters of Yah. Teaching about the matters of Yah. Researching about the matters of Yah. Discussing the matters of Yah. Anything related to the service of Yah. Urgent medical treatment. I hold that it is permissible to visit a restaurant to eat a Sabbath meal, but I accept that that is controversial. My perspective is that there is no restriction on unbelievers working on the Sabbath since they're not in my land or my jurisdiction. So if they want to prepare and serve food to believers on the Sabbath, that's acceptable. Use your discretion. Be sensible about it. But the key thing is, let it be possible for Yah to look on your day and say, this is a servant of mine. This is a worshiper of mine. This is a follower of mine. If you're not sure what to do on the Sabbath, apply that yardstick. Ask yourself whether Yah is looking at what you're doing and he's pleased with what you're doing, or if he's displeased. And if you're not sure, or you think he might be displeased, don't do it. Repent, ask for forgiveness. What is not permissible? Anything that can be done on another day of the week that is not time critical on the Sabbath. Any form of commercial activity, anything to do with your day job, any form of studying, discussing, writing, researching of a commercial nature, non-essential medical treatment, shopping, including online shopping, watering plants that can be watered on another day of the week, cutting toenails or fingernails or any form of beauty treatment or similar, banking, any form of secular errand, anything analogous to the previous points. Barring the matters listed above as permissible, I take a fairly narrow and fairly strict view of what is permissible. I hold that fundamentally the Sabbath is time for serving Father and doing his work and worshiping him. So what am I saying to you? It is so easy to slip into answering that business email, taking that business phone call. I make a point of saying to my customers, I'm not available on the Saturday. On the Saturday, I observe it as a strict Sabbath. I might take a momentary phone call and say, I'm terribly sorry, I can't speak to you today. I'll call you back tomorrow. You don't have to be pushy or offensive about it. Except that you're inconveniencing other people, apologize for inconveniencing. Just say, look, it's important to me to keep this day set apart to the Almighty, and I'm afraid I can't attend that meeting today. It takes discipline. It takes a resolve and a desire to please Father. If you're wishy-washy about it, then don't be surprised if Father is wishy-washy about you in return. You cry out to him to provide for you financially, but you can't be bothered to keep your work separate from his day. And if you insist on doing business and commercial stuff on the Sabbath, do not be surprised when your business is a mess and there is no business and you run around doing everything you possibly can, but there's no income because there's no favor from Yah, because you have offended him, you've broken the commandment, and there's potentially a death penalty for what you're doing, and he's being gracious towards you that he's not killing you. Please hear me. The Sabbath is a very, very sacred, set apart, sanctified day. It should be treated as such. I have this ministry that's broadcasting to you now. I publish emails. I'm doing a rendering of the Bible, correcting some really serious translation errors. I do that on the Sabbath as an act of worship towards Yah. Then the high Sabbaths, the seven high Sabbaths should be observed even more strictly than the weekly Saturday Sabbath, specifically in sequence through the calendar year. First of all, Pesach or Passover commemorates the covenant between Yah and the people of Israel prior to their deliverance from Egypt, correctly Mitzrayim. Also commemorates the final supper of Yeshua and the new covenant entered through his death, on the night before Passover. Read the article, Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' Death, on the website. Observe strictly, taking account of the above points. Might usher it in with roast lamb the night before the Passover. There are various Jewish traditions regarding the Seder, which I do not observe. You may choose to investigate them and observe them. Folks, the Passover was the day before Moshe led the people out of Egypt, and it was the day when Yeshua was put to death. It's an important day, and you should attach that level of gravitas and importance and seriousness to it. Don't get wishy-washy and make excuses. It is a high Sabbath dedicated to Yah. Worship Yah, praise Yah, read about the things of Yah, get on your knees and pray for a few hours. Have a feast by all means. It is a feast day. Roast lamb is a good way to start. Then the next High Sabbath, Shavuot, or Pentecost, commemorates when Yah came down on Mount Sinai after the Israelites came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. It also commemorates when the Spirit of Yah was poured out on the believers in the upper room 40 days after Pesach, after Yeshua was resurrected. You should observe this strictly with particular emphasis on remembering the events above and asking Father to pour out his Spirit on you. So the thing to notice here is Father does important things according to his high Sabbaths. They are markers in time if Yah is going to do something significant in your life, he is probably going to do it on one of these six high Sabbaths. If he's going to do something significant in the world, he's probably going to do it on one of these high Sabbaths. So Shavuot, Yah comes down on the mountain. His spirit comes down on the mountain. Moses goes up to him on the mountain. Yah puts the Ten Commandments on the two tablets of stone, gives them to Moshe. Moshe comes down. The Israelites are worshipping idols. He breaks the tablets. He goes back on the mountain. Father gives him the tablets again. Those Ten Commandments are written in stone. They never will change. All this other stuff about 613 mitzvot, etc., is fluff and stuff. It's the Ten Commandments that are really important. In Hebrew, the ten words. The word of Yah is fundamentally the Ten Commandments. Then Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. Commemorate this with the blowing of the shofar, ram's horn trumpet. If you do not have a shofar, you may be able to find one to purchase on Amazon. Sound the trumpet at least once during the day. This is a day of rejoicing and feasting. I have tucked away two big kudu horn shofars, and I have, which I bought on Amazon, a little sheep's or goat's, I think it's a sheep's horn shofar. If you take it seriously, sound a trumpet on Yom Teruah. Get yourself a trumpet. Teach yourself to blow it. I'm not very good at that, and I only really blow it once a year. And, you know, this year I really battled to get a decent note out of it. You've got to wet your lips, purse your lips, and sort of blow through your lips. It's a whole technique in its own right. But the point is, as an act of reverence to Yah, blow the trumpet on the Feast of Trumpets, on the Yom Teruah. By all means, have a good meal. Same comments apply. Either have the meal the night before or prepare it such that it requires little work and little preparation if you're going to take the feast on the Sabbath. But take it seriously, folks. Be different. Being holy means set apart, separated from, sanctified. Then Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the day on which the annual atoning sacrifice was offered when there was a temple. Yeshua fulfilled the sacrifice so that should be commemorated on this day. This is a strict water-only fast from sunset to sunset, time for introspection and examining oneself, seeking to repent of all unrepented sin. Yom Kippur is the most set apart, most sacred, most holy day of the annual calendar. If you're sloppy and you don't keep anything, then keep Yom Kippur. That was why Israel was attacked on Yom Kippur, because they were all fasting and worshipping, etc., and they still got defeated because it was an offense against Yah. So I encourage you, on Yom Kippur, dedicate the day to worshipping, to serving Yah, to drawing close to Yah. Fellowship, talk about the things of Yah. That I didn't mention, by the way. Perfectly acceptable to meet in an assembly or a church or a synagogue or whatever on a Sabbath. And it's acceptable to drive there. You do want to preferably go somewhere not too far, but there's grace as far as that's concerned. I've seen a number of significant points in my life related to Yom Kippur. Then the first day of Sukkot, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, It's the start of the harvest festival in the Northern Hemisphere. Observe it as such, whether you're in the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere. A day of rejoicing. Give thanks and feasting. It also happens that Yeshua was born on the first day of Sukkot. So if you have a real need to commemorate Yeshua's birthday, this is the day to do it, not the 25th of December. See the article Yeshua and the Feast of Tabernacles and the article The True Birthday of Yeshua on the website. I personally do not see a need to particularly recall the birth of Yeshua. He is, after all, simply a human being, albeit a human being who played a very special role in history. So you've got from Sukkot, the first day, to the great eighth day, the great day, 8 days. The tradition in Judaism is to dwell outside your house in a booth, a sukkah, for the 8 days. Not many people actually are strict about that. It's pretty difficult to do in our society today. If you're blessed with a reasonably big garden, you can set up a tent or one of these tent-like structures of posts and what have you. But generally not that easy to observe, and particularly if it's bad weather or whatever. Remembering that this was first given in a semi-desert environment where things were very different and the people were living in booths every day. But the first day is important. And then the great day of Sukkot, the great day of Tabernacles, the eighth day, the day on which Yeshua was circumcised and named. It's a feast day. It's the culmination of 8 days of celebrating the harvest and giving thanks. If you've traditionally observed Christmas and or Thanksgiving as major feasts, this is the day for a major feast according to Father's parameters. Thanksgiving, not a big issue. Christmas, absolutely forbidden, absolutely forbidden. Absolutely not acceptable, any stretch of your imagination. You should not even think about Christmas, let alone observe Christmas, let alone have a Christmas tree, let alone have a Christmas feast. It's out of the question, folks. If you're a committed believer, see the webpage, The Evil of Christmas, for a whole lot more about just how evil Christmas fundamentally is. So, great day of Tabernacles, day of Sukkot. Prepare a really nice meal. Maybe you have it on the night before. I would have roast lamb, all the trimmings, starters, dessert, the whole shooting match. Make it a celebration and let go of Christmas. Let go of Easter as well, by the way. Let go of Halloween and let go of New Year. They are all pagan feasts, and they are all wrong, and most of them are evil to very evil. Christmas and Halloween, really evil feasts. Don't observe them under any circumstances. See the webpage, The Evil of Halloween, as well. As I say, remember the first day of Sukkot as the date on which Yeshua was born, if that's important to you. So in conclusion, I hope that this has helped you to clarify your priorities with regard to Sabbath observance. These are dates in the calendar that Yah has set apart for us to put him first. If you're not going to observe them strictly, please do not be surprised when you get before the judgment seat and he says to me, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." It's a small thing, actually, once you decide to do it. And once you decide to do it properly, diligently, conscientiously, rigorously, not in a harsh legalistic way, but in a way of, "I love you, Father Yah. I want to please you. I want to keep your Sabbaths." Help me to keep your Sabbaths. Worship. There are two web pages, recommended worship and important worship songs on the website, with a whole collection of carefully chosen songs that are reasonably correct doctrinally, don't have wrong words, or have taken wrong words out for the most part, not entirely, but to a large extent. So I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like you to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. He wants, let's get this straight, folks. Father created all of this, the universe, the solar system, planet Earth, the plants, the animals, and us, for one reason only, to be His friends, His companions, His confidants. And almost nobody understands that, and almost nobody comes anywhere close to achieving that. Do you talk to Him? Do you involve Him in what you're doing? Father, should I do this or should I do that? Should I make that phone call now? What should I say to this person? Do you think I should fit this thing this way or fit it that way? Father, I can't find my spanner. Can you help me? He wants that level of communion with you, that level of involvement with you. Are you thinking about Him all the time and saying, you know what, Father, that didn't go so well. That meeting was a bit of a mess. Sure. What do you think? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? I have a little MP3 player that goes in my pocket and a little earbud. And I have worship songs playing on that MP3 player 24/7. Even if I just get up and go to the toilet, I'll stick that earbud in so that I can hear. If I'm on the bus or train or whatever, I put the earbud on in my car. I put a CD in the CD player or an MP3 player connected to the sound system. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. Folks, it matters not if you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated, short or tall, thin or fat. It doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim or Jew, a Christian, a Hindu, a Buddhist, whatever. It doesn't matter if you're a Satanist. It doesn't matter if you're a witch or a warlock. Doesn't matter if you're African or American or European or Caucasian or Asian or whatever. Father wants you to be His friend. There's an article on the website, 7 Components of Drawing Close. The things to do to get close to Father. The things to do to clean up your life. He wants you to be His friend. He wants nothing more than to chat to you and talk to you as you walk through along the street or as you sit at your desk or whatever and say, you know, I don't think you should phone that person now, or I think you should phone that person now, and this is what I think you should say to them. It's up to you. That's what He created you for. The rest is fluff and stuff. Folks, thank you so much. If you've not been here before, I'm going to share some stuff after this. If you've been here a few times, then I'm going to say good night. In closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is in course of preparation. See the ETI Bible version page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the web internet, on about four podcast websites. Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books with teachings from 1998 until May 2019 are on the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer to give me or to give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. There's a wealth of information on the website. Folks, thank you so much. I'm going to say good night, and I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just because you love me. I know your favor.
Hi. I'm James Robertson, and I want to speak to you right now about Sabbath observance. I'm talking to believers. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it set apart, keep it holy. That means no secular, commercial, housekeeping, etc. work. Focus on the Creator, worship Him alone, draw close to Him, honor Him with that day. Let it be a marker that you are different, that you want to serve Him, that you have a relationship with Him, and you're prepared to adjust the way you live in order to serve Him. Please listen to my broadcast on www.w4cy.com radio or on talk4tv.com video sites. Visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing from you.